You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, and good morning. Man, it's great to gather together and worship with all of you. I love starting my week like this, and there's a lot of fun stuff happening at the Vineyard. VVS was incredible. I'm really excited to open the doors and give tours of the Love Foco Resource Center after service this morning. If we've never gotten a chance to meet before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. Excited to preach because we're continuing the series we started last week from the book of Galatians. And last Sunday, we talked a lot about how Jesus created this wonderful rescue plan for you and for the entire world, how through his life, death, and resurrection, you can be saved, but not just for someday, not just for heaven. You can also experience the grace, mercy, and peace of God starting today when you walk with him and start a relationship with him. And if you've never started a personal relationship with Jesus, one where you're rescued and saved for heaven, but also one where you can experience the saving power of Christ on a daily basis, I would love to help you start a life with God. And we'll do that later in our service this morning. You know, one of the reasons why I love the book of Galatians is because even though Paul wrote this book 2,000 years ago, it seems like he wrote it to us today. And this is the power of the living and active word of God, that as we gather together and as we open the Bible together, we can expect to hear from God, that the messages written a few thousand years ago will still apply to us today. And our passage this morning, it really makes me laugh. I mean, honestly, I found myself laughing at myself because the passage, I don't know what's going on with this little guy. Let me pull it a little further away. Maybe that'll help. The passage for today is almost the complete opposite of the type of person I grew up as. Almost the complete opposite. I mean, when I read this passage today, it's still a little bit of the opposite today if you catch me on a bad day today, but it's definitely the opposite of like a young little 10-year-old Jeff. Growing up, this is going to probably shock some of you, but growing up, I was a little bit of a turd. I wasn't that enjoyable to be around. I really wasn't. I was a serious know-it-all. I had real issues with that. I just acted like I knew everything. I was not lacking in self-confidence. At least that's how I presented myself. But the truth is, all of that kind of exuding self-confidence was a mask for all kinds of insecurities that I had on the inside. And I was just trying to cover that up with this know-it-all attitude, acting like you couldn't teach me anything, that I already knew everything you were going to say. And some people found it amusing. And most people hated it. They couldn't handle it. Let me switch to this. You want to help me out, Nat? All right, this is what we're going to go with. It's a lot better than the popping, right? It's pretty annoying. I don't know anything about that, so I haven't figured that part out. No, as a kid, I was this serious know-it-all, you know, and really the teachers didn't like it. My parents definitely probably had struggles with it. But again, it was all this masking of the deep-seated insecurities that I had. See, I always felt like I needed to know everything, that I was always going to have to prove myself. And what I've realized is this has kind of continued on in life. Of course, the Lord is healing me, and I'm experiencing more peace and more freedom from those things. But these were some of the internal struggles. And as a child, I also hated the journey. You know, like I always wanted to just arrive already. I didn't, you know the phrase, you know, don't just focus on the destination, love the journey. I hated that. I hated everything about it. I just wanted to arrive and arrive immediately. I hated being bad at things. I didn't want to be bad at it. I just wanted to be good and good now. I was looking at my brother. He had all kinds of freedoms because he was a few years older than me, and I just wanted that freedom now. I didn't want to have to wait. I didn't want to have to go through a process. And when I played sports, I didn't want to practice. Who wants to practice? Nobody wants to practice. I just want to play a game. right? Allen Iverson, anyone? Ted Lasso made it famous. I just want to play the game. We don't want to talk about practice. I want to play the game. I just want to be good, and I wanted to be good immediately. It didn't matter what it was about. Now, that one I blame totally on the fact that I grew up in the state of Iowa. Not my own brokenness, right? Of course it was. No, but I blame it on the state of Iowa. I grew up in Iowa. I always say Iowa is a great place to be from. Really happy to be in Colorado now, but Iowa's a great place to be from. But the reason why I blame Iowa for my incessant desire to arrive and skip the journey is because if you're from the Midwest, all you do in the summer is you road trip all the time. This is like the Midwest way. You just get in the car and drive 8 hours to another place, and there's nothing cool to look at. You know, here, you can, like, look out your window and enjoy the scenery. Maybe you'll see an elk or a bighorn sheep every now and then. You have the wonderful mountains. In Iowa, it's just corn on soybeans on corn on soybeans. You get to the top of a hill, and you think maybe it's going to change. Nope, it's a Casey's gas station, and then just more corn and soybeans. That's all it is, and a giant frying pan about 30 miles that way. This is what it is. So I just hate it. And imagine my parents, my poor parents. I mean, I was the kid that would suck down like 2 Mountain Dews before a road trip. So I had to pee every 15 minutes. And I was a know-it-all sitting in the back seat just talking about how, I can't wait to get there. And are we there yet? And are we there yet? It just drove them crazy. I'm sure it did. But that's one of the reasons why I love the book of Galatians. It's been so good for me. It's been so good for me because the truth is the more you get into the gospel, the more you study the Bible, you realize that you can't go it alone, that nobody's a know-it-all. You can't be a know-it-all. You're going to miss incredible things to our faith and our walk with God if you present yourself to the Lord or to others as a know-it-all. Nobody is a know-it-all. Nobody can get there immediately. And one of the most important things that we can learn from Scripture is that nobody is too far gone. Nobody's too far gone from the love of God. And if you feel like you've drifted too far or you're somehow unlovable, the Lord's love, may it be revealed to you this morning. Nobody is too far gone. Let's read the scripture this morning. I'm going to read in Galatians chapter 1, just picking up where we left off last week, reading the rest of chapter 1. So it's a large chunk of scripture here, starting in verse 11. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away to Arabia, and later I returned to the city of Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that what I'm writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, and still the churches in Christ that are in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying, 'The one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy.' And they praised God because of me." It's a large chunk of scripture, but it is good to read the Bible together. It's good to read large passages of scripture together. This is where you begin to see kind of the arc of the entire book. And last week, we began to dismantle some of the false gospels that Paul was speaking against. And here he's continuing it again. And one of the false gospels that was then is still continues in our day today, maybe even more extreme now, is this false gospel that makes us strive for complete independence. That we're all alone, that we can do it all alone, that we can be this self-made, self-empowered, self-centered hero of our own story. But in this passage, we see that striving for complete independence isn't the Christian's highest value, because nobody knows it all.
And when it comes to your Christian faith, and when it comes to following God and learning to walk with Him, you know, one of the most dangerous things you can do is act like a know-it-all. It's isolating from community. It isolates your heart and your life from the very presence of God. And ultimately, it shrinks your experience of God. It will shrink your experience of God. Look back at verse 11. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning." It's not from human reasoning or human origin. In other words, it didn't come from tight arguments and persuasive words. It wasn't devised or centered on a human gospel. It was divine. It was heavenly. This message came from the King himself. Nobody knows it all because you can't know it all. You can't. There are some things that you can learn with human words and human ideas. There are things that I could teach you, others could teach you, or that you could teach yourself. But there are certain things that simply have to come from God. Things that require a unique moment or an encounter or a revelation with the love of God. You know, the Christian faith continually invites you to embrace understanding and mystery at the same time. Understanding and mystery at the same time. There are knowable parts to your faith. You can do the work. You can study. You can dig up archaeological studies and biblical history. I mean, most historians at this point would recognize that Jesus actually walked the earth. You can follow that train of thought and realize this was a man who walked the earth. There are things you can dig into and expand your knowledge on theology. You take all kinds of high-level education classes to sharpen your reasoning. And yet still, the Lord will invite you to meet with him personally, to encounter his love, to embrace the mystery of learning to follow him. Your faith cannot be based on mere human reasoning alone. You're invited to experience him, to know him deeply within your soul, as well as to grow in your understanding, both at the same time. You know, we're going to take communion later in our service. And I could teach you about communion. I could teach you about the biblical reasons on why we practice communion and the beauty behind it. But it's a whole other thing for you to take communion and connect with God. It's a whole different thing. There's a mystery to that. There's a mystery to what happens when you come before the Lord in his presence and you remember his sacrifice. I could teach you about the kingdom of God. And I love teaching about the kingdom of God. It's like one of my favorite topics to unpack the scriptures and march through the Old and New Testament and talk about the kingdom of God, how is the central message to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the coming and arrival and expansion of the kingdom. But it's a whole other thing for you to experience the kingdom firsthand. I could teach you about the gospel of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. Or just think about prayer. I mean, prayer is an interesting thing. I don't know how you think prayer works, but it's actually quite a mystery. When you really think we're talking to the creator of the universe, the one who started it all, we're offering our prayers up to him. We have very little idea on how the timing works. If you ever figure out the timing of God, please pull me aside and let me know. There's a little bit of a mystery. We're leaning into that mystery in our daily walk with Christ. There are just some things that can't be based on mere human reasoning that we need to press into this mystery with the Lord. And I just want to say, if your gospel, it can be totally understood, then I would imagine your gospel is too small. If you can just fit everything into a nice mental argument and make sense of everything, may I propose to you today that your gospel might be a little too small. I think it's a good thing when we're engaging with the creator of all things that there might be something left for our heart to ponder and wonder and be captivated by. Don't you think that would be a good thing for your heart to embrace a bit of the mystery behind the creator of all things? Nobody can know it all. There are just some things that have to be caught, not taught. There are some things that have to be revealed to you from God through prayer and worship, spending time with him in moments of revelation. These are the things that no one can convince you of. You have to experience yourself. And at the same time, if you read the book of Galatians, it can be a little confusing because we're talking about how nobody knows it all. And if you read like the next verse, it kind of sounds like Paul thinks he knows it all. And so we're gonna read the next verse because Paul does say, no one taught me. No one taught me. And if you just cherry pick that verse kind of out of the arc of scripture, it can kind of sound like Paul was a little high and mighty. That no one taught me. It's just me and Jesus up in Arabia. It's just me and Jesus. That's all I need. And listen, if I could pay you money for every time I hear someone say, I don't need anything. It's just me and Jesus. It's just me and Jesus in the mountains. Me and Jesus. I got the Bible. It's all good. Listen, that is a red flag. It's a red flag because we can't know it all. We need one another. We need the Lord continually pouring into us. But it's a little confusing. So look at verse 12 again. It says, I received my message from no human source and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. So you see, it kind of does sound like Paul might know everything. He had like the upper hand on this powerful revelation from Jesus. He says, no one taught me. But there's a lot of things going on in this passage. There's a lot of things going on in the church of Galatia and beyond. So for one, Paul is simply reaffirming his apostolic call. Because there was some debate in the churches at that time whether or not Paul could be trusted as an authoritative figure in the church. And so he's simply reminding everyone, hey, like I had a personal encounter with the risen Lord. That's where I got my marching orders. That's where I got this message, from a personal encounter with the risen Lord. No one taught me this. Jesus revealed himself directly to me. But at the same time, if you keep reading the book of Galatians and also look at the bigger picture, even really the next few verses, Paul starts naming names of people who've poured into him. So it couldn't have been that little phrase, no one taught me, meant he knows it all, because then a little bit later he says, and I spent time with Peter, and I spent time with James, the Lord's brother. And even if you read the book of Acts, you know that he was always connected with guys like Barnabas and John Mark and the greater church. He continually went back to Jerusalem to even check the facts and check the gospel to make sure he was preaching a solid biblical message. What Paul is doing is he's drawing a distinction between the divine revelation that he had of the resurrected Lord and how he's growing in human understanding. They're two different things. And when he said, no one taught me, he's talking about that divine revelation. But as the book of Galatians goes, you learn that he continued to grow and sharpen himself over time. This is what he's drawing a distinction to, the difference between divine revelation and human understanding. I mean, anyone who reads the book of, the New Testament can see. Paul continually was being poured into, surrounding himself with others. He sharpened others, and others sharpened him. You can see in his life this Christian truth that we talk about a lot at the Vineyard, that you need mountaintop experiences, and you need continual processes. You need both. You need divine moments where it seems like God changed a thing in your life in a moment, and it's mysterious. You don't even know how those pieces got rearranged in your heart. You need that. But even those divine revelatory moments, they almost always lead you to an ongoing process of discipleship in the church with other mentors connected to a spiritual community. Both of these things help you grow in your faith and live it out over a long haul. Both divine revelation and continual processes. Another way we talk about it is catalytic moments and discipleship connections. We need both of these things. And that really draws my attention to the next part of this scripture and the next point of the message this morning is that nobody gets there immediately. Nobody can get there alone, and nobody gets there immediately. Again, this is another one of the gospels of our day that Paul's kind of pushing against, because you've been taught, we've all been taught in our culture, that you can have it and you can have it now. And if you just want it bad enough, you can go and get it. But no one gets there immediately. No one arrives overnight. Even, like I said, those giant breakthrough moments, they almost always lead to a journey of lifelong discipleship. I'm not going to reread the whole second part of first chapter, but just listen to some of the phrases that Paul uses in this scripture. In verse 16, Paul wrote, when this happened, I did not rush. When this happened, I did not rush. In verse 17, I went to Arabia, and then 3 years later, I returned. I mean, think about that. In the book of Acts, Paul had this knockdown, blinding revelation of the resurrected Lord. And what did he do? He waited. For years, he waited. Imagine that. Imagine that. He went to Damascus and then Jerusalem and then Syria and Cilicia, and then he started planting churches. In today's culture, the ministry of Paul would look like a failure. Because if you have a personal knockdown, blinding revelation of the resurrected Lord in today's culture, you're signing a book contract. You're starting on a news feed on social media. You're starting a podcast. You're going on a preaching tour. You are going to make sure that you capitalize on the moment that's just been given to you. But not Paul. He retreats for 3 years. He hides away. He takes his time. He intentionally slows down. Paul knew a deeper truth that I think 21st century Western Christians often struggle with. That the rich things of God often take time. They take time. There are no shortcuts. And if you continue to try to take those shortcuts, God in his marvelous grace will help you start over again. Because he loves you. Because he knows there's something that you have to pick up along the way or maybe even let go of on the long journey. The kingdom of God is often a slow kingdom coming. There are moments of immediacy, and we cry out for healing in a moment and a word from God in a moment and his presence in a moment. We were just singing, "Let heaven come." We want to experience it on earth as it is in heaven, but oftentimes that comes through the slow, ongoing process of walking with God. Paul knew something. Paul knew something about walking with the Lord. He wasn't in a rush. And oftentimes if we just tell ourselves that we should be growing faster, or if we tell ourselves the lie that we should somehow be further along than we actually are, you know, the recipe for that, it often ends up in comparison and shame. Because I should be further along than I am, or I should be this, or I should be that. Embrace the process the Lord has with you. I think Paul knew something that set him free and kept him free, something that I think would be good for all of us to ponder this morning and embrace. It's a kind of freedom that comes from the sovereignty of God. Look at verse 15. It says, "But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace." Even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Now, your calling is probably different than the calling that Paul had. But the same marvelous grace that applied to Paul applies to you this morning. You can experience that same marvelous grace. And you can take rest in the fact that God has prepared things for you to do ahead of time. That he already knows who you are. He already knows who you're becoming. He's already laid out the road. And if you think you've missed it, take heart. His love can redeem all things. My road looks like this. And somehow I keep moving towards the destination. I'm learning to embrace the journey. When this marvelous grace gets settled deep into your heart, I think it brings a freedom that no human reasoning can offer to you. And ultimately, it takes the pressure off. I mean, you're still required to do the work. You're still required to stay connected to him and to follow him and to walk with him. But he's doing the heavy lifting. God's doing the heavy work for you. You just follow. Because nobody knows it all. And you can't get there immediately. His marvelous grace will lead you on the journey. And the final point for this morning is that nobody's too far gone. Nobody's too far gone. It said in verse 13 that Paul violently persecuted Christians. In verse 23, it said that the early believers were shocked when they found out the one who was trying to destroy the faith is now trying to build it. The one who was trying to shrink the faith is now trying to expand it. And when it says he was violently persecuting Christians, it's not hyperbole. It means he was trying to kill them, actually. He had marching orders to go and arrest the Christians, gather them together, lock them up, and lead scores of people to stone the early Christians to death. He was on a search and destroy mission. That's what Paul's life was about. But Jesus rescued him because nobody's too far gone. Nobody is too far gone. And I imagine there are a few people in this room and maybe even people tuning in online that need to hear that exact message this morning. If you feel like you've done some kind of unforgivable thing, that you've run too far, that somehow your heart and your life and your very soul, the fabric of who you are, is unlovable, then let me encourage you to look at the life of Paul. He literally killed Christians and then he became one. You're never too far gone to experience the love of God. It doesn't matter what you've done. You can be forgiven and you can start an ongoing and life-giving relationship with him today. I don't know if you ever remember this guy in the news. It was from a while ago, decades ago. His nickname was the Son of Sam. You remember this guy? David Berkowitz was his real name, and he was a bad dude. He was a bad dude. He got locked up, and honestly, society is better off because he got locked up. He was a serial killer, and he got locked. He had done so many bad things. He got put away, but while he was in prison, he encountered the gospel of Jesus Christ. He ended up having a revelation of the love of Christ, and he gave his life to the Lord. And while in prison, he re-nicknamed himself the Son of Hope, saying, "I'm not the son of Sam anymore. That man has died long ago, and I have been born again into the family of God. Call me the Son of Hope." You know, Paul and the Son of Sam, or the Son of Hope, as he were to have us call him, they have a lot more in common than you realize. They were both murderers. Both were feared. But both experienced a revelation of the undeniable love of God. And when they surrendered their lives to his love, they gave God great glory, knowing he can rescue us all. He can rescue us all, even a sinner like me. Some of you need to hear that nobody's too far gone this morning. And others, you need to hear that, because if you're a Christian or you've been a Christian for a really long time, this thing can sometimes happen if we're not careful. I'm not saying it's happened to everyone here, but it can happen to some of us. We can become a little judgmental. We can become a bit critical. And I think Paul's life stands as a beautiful reminder to all of us that nobody's too far gone. That person that drives you crazy, not too far gone. Every single person you meet is just one encounter away from having a walking relationship with Jesus Christ. Every single person you meet. And you're surrounded with modern day Pauls, aren't you? People who are trying to destroy the faith. People who might hate Christians or hate the church. They're all one encounter away from walking with him and helping build the very thing they've been trying to destroy. And this should help us know how to pray. Should help us to know how to pray. That neighbor that drives you crazy, or that coworker, or that classmate that always tries to silence you, pray for them. Pray that they might have an encounter with the love of Christ. Your persuasive arguments probably won't do it, but an encounter with the love of God will set them free. Pray for them. Expand if your prayer list only is filled with people who are like kind of close to God or maybe moving closer to him, can I encourage you to expand it? Expand it to the person you think least likely loves the Lord. Pray for them and pray for them and pray for them and wait and see what God might do in their life. They very well may have an encounter with the Lord. I can't promise you they'll respond. But listen, nobody is too far gone. I'm going to bring this to a close this morning by just reminding you what we need to remember every single week. There's nothing like the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we never grow tired of hearing the gospel of Jesus. Nobody knows it all. Our gospel isn't designed to be small. We're supposed to embrace the mystery of our walk with God. Nobody can get there immediately. He wants to give us mountaintop experiences of breakthrough and revelation, but those things take us on a journey. They give us fuel for an ongoing walk with the Lord. And listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ would say that nobody is too far gone, that everyone can be saved. He came to rescue us all. May we never grow tired of hearing and experiencing and telling that message to the world around us. Nobody is too far gone. Let's pray together.